Thanks for the intro, John. Hi, folks. As John said, I'm here to present the last API in our series, the UC Web API, or UCWA for short. Just want to start off real quick with a roadmap to kind of set expectations and let everyone, you know once they're once they know what this is, when they can expect to see it. So as it says there, at RTM, this will be available to people who are in our developer tab only. If you'd like to sign up for that, make note of it in the IM window, and if you're not already in it, and we can work that process out. Post-RTM is when the API will actually be released. Initially, it will be released on-prem only, and the following features will be covered, the ones in the slide: IM and presence, call control, meeting scheduling, and conferencing. And in the future, we plan on moving that set of features in the public API online, and we also plan on adding other modalities, such as voice, video, and sharing, as well as the ability to do anonymous access. So with that, let's walk through an agenda. I'll be starting with an overview of the API itself, then a more detailed walkthrough, and finally a walkthrough of the samples that we'll be handing out that'll show you best practices of using the API. So what we won't be covering today, there's some terms and concepts that I will give you enough detail to understand the rest of the presentation, but for more detail, we'll put some links up in the forums or in the IM window. These include HTTP, REST, and CRUD. And as far as code, in this limited amount of time, we can't demo everything, but there are samples for the following things that won't be demoed. So we're not going to show you how to log in, because quite frankly, it's a little boring. We won't be showing contacts, meeting scheduling, or conferencing, but again, all of these work. All of these are in the samples, and you can see how they work once you have access to the samples. So let's get down to business with the API overview. We had two key goals. The first one, as it says, is to simplify embedding UC in your app. As we said, the UC capabilities we're looking at today would be instant messaging, presence, contacts and groups, phone audio, conferencing, meeting scheduling. We imagine you embedding these into an app, whether it's a web app, mobile app, or Slate. The other key goal for us is to accelerate adoption of this API using familiar web concepts and idioms. The API is REST-like, which we'll go into a bit more detail in later slides, and we support both JSON and XML as payload formats. So what is UCWA? We already have a great relationship with desktop enterprise developers. As we prepare ourselves for the service, we aim to bring Microsoft quality development to mobile and web developers using this new API. One other point, for those of you who are familiar with the managed API, this is actually built on top of the managed API, UCMA. So some outreach, those standards and idioms that we're looking to build on top of to foster quicker adoption. HTML5, as it says there, this is HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. JavaScript in the browser is great at speaking HTTP, so it's a great candidate language for us. And pretty much every one of those devices that we spoke about has a browser anyway, so it's a good platform. And REST-like, this essentially describes how the web works if you're not familiar with the REST concept. Essentially, you request data from a server using a URL, and you get back a response. And all of your engagement happens in a similar fashion. So where can UCWA apps be run? The answer is desktop, mobile, and Slate. As we said before, one of our main goals is to be both cross-platform and cross-browser. Also, once this API goes public, this would be the natural way to bring UC to Windows 8 Slates. So we are language independent. Our main our protocol is built on top of HTTP, or our API, excuse me, is built on top of the HTTP protocol, which powers the web. And any language that can send and receive HTTP requests can talk with UCWA. So this is just a smattering of popular languages today. C#, Python, Ruby, anything on the .NET framework, JavaScript, PHP, all of them have HTTP libraries, and you would easily be able to write a UCWA app in any of these. With that, let's go for a quick demo of actually using the API. This will essentially be me going through the samples that we'll be handing out to TAP participants. So one second while I set up screen sharing. Here we go. And a couple of people just saying, make sure that that we transitioned over to screen sharing. Thanks, John. All right, so what I have here on the right-hand side is I have a copy of Internet Explorer that has our samples loaded. And on the right-hand side, on the left-hand side, I have Fiddler, which if you've ever done browser development and hit F12 to bring up the developer tools in IE or in Firefox or in Chrome or really any browser, there's a set of developer tools, and one of the things they can do is show you the requests and responses. Fiddler's like that, but standalone. I'm going to have it open so you can see the API activity going back and forth between the sample apps and the server. You'll see it goes by kind of quickly. So when I transition back to the slides, I've actually taken the Fiddler traces and called them up in the slide in more detail so we can go through them step by step. So with that, let's log in and take a look at what these sample apps look like. So you see the login is purely browser-based. You can see in Fiddler the login happening and the registration of the sample apps with the server. And I'm going to start with me and talk about what you can do with your own data. So I'm going to log in as myself so you can actually watch these changes be reflected in the link client as I do them with the UCO samples. So I'm logged in, and it says my presence is set to be right back. If I go ahead and do a get presence in the browser, you notice it matches. So now if I scroll down, I can go ahead and also set my presence using this API. I'm going to set it to away. When I click set presence, two things are going to happen. One, my presence will change in link client, and two, the app is going to let me know that we're not currently listening to events from the server, so it's not going to be aware of the presence change. When I click this, there's the alert. And notice already that the link client has changed to away. So we can do similar things with your note. So right now you see I have no note, but I'm going to go ahead and set it and say, hi, roundtable attendees. Click set note, and right away the link client has already reflected the note change. So now onto the interesting one, the one I'm sure everyone really wants to see. We'll go ahead and do instant messaging. So obviously I can't IM with myself, so I'm going to log in as another user so we can actually see the sample. We'll sign in. I'm going to say that I would like to start an outgoing IM from the browser with UCY user 2, who I just logged in as. I click it. Up pops a toast. Say hello from the browser, hit send, and of course, what would IM be if it weren't two-way? And there it goes. So, as I said, there are more samples that we're not going to have time to cover today, but they are all here and functional. With that, let's get back to the slide so we can actually walk through all this API traffic that was happening in Fiddler in the background. So for the API walkthrough, what goes back and forth on the wire, what you saw in Fiddler, that is the API. There are two key kinds of API traffic to think about. We call them the command channel and the event channel. The command channel is your request-response channel with the server. So you make your requests, you receive your responses. And the event channel is an asynchronous channel for the server to notify your app. For example, we use the event channel in the IM sample, because you don't want to sit there polling the server. Use this event channel, and the server asynchronously says, you just received an IM. So these two channels, and the data that flows across them, represent the API. As I said before, our API is built on top of HTTP, and in our case, there are four key HTTP verbs that we use: get, post, put, and delete. For those of you who are familiar with CRUD, in this case CRUD is a good thing. It stands for create, read, update, and delete. And these HTTP verbs pretty closely match them. Get maps to retrieve, put tends to map to update, and post tends to map to create. Delete, thankfully, has a one-to-one mapping. Another key component is what's going back and forth across the command channel. We call them resources. That's what they're called in the HTTP or REST-like world. They are our objects. They live on the server with a set of properties and links to related resources. And an app will make CRUD requests using those HTTP verbs on these resources. And again, as I said before, the server can asynchronously send updates about resources via the event channel. The last thing to discuss is that we are providing a set of helpers, those samples, to keep app developers from writing boilerplate code that everyone has to write. Let's talk a little bit more about those resources. As you can see here, resources are made up of three key components. Up at the top, we see the web link collection. These are standard links like the ones you see in your browser. And just like your browser can always find a link in a web page and underline it, you know, make the text blue, these links are consistent across any resource. They will always look the same, and therefore you can deal with them programmatically. An embedded resource is really nothing more than a shortcut. Instead of having a link to a resource that you explicitly have to go get, if we think that these two resources are so often used in tandem that we'd like to put them together, we can make the choice to embed them when serving them to an app for convenience. One plausible scenario would be when you're looking at the me data, you may always be interested in your note, let's say. So we'd embed the note resource inside of the me resource. I'm not saying that's the exact one that we're doing today, but these are the kinds of optimizations that embedding gives us. And finally, the property bag. This is a set of key value pairs that actually define the resource itself. And it's very simple. It's just key value, where the value can be a string or a boolean or an int, or we allow for simple arrays. Anything more complicated than that will usually be a different resource. One last thing to talk about is with these links, by explicitly giving you links, for those of you familiar with REST or most REST-like APIs, today you're expected to craft a link yourself, and this can be a bit of an error-prone process. By having the server explicitly give you links, this is a concept called hypermedia. And instead of crafting links, you follow the links that the server gives you and trust the server to give you good links. So on to those samples. Let's talk a little bit about getting presents. Like I said before, there's some things we're not going to cover in this walkthrough. I'm assuming that we've already logged in and created an application. That's some of that boilerplate that those samples and helpers are going to help you with. So I'm focusing on the actual interesting tasks after you've logged in. So the first thing we do is, once you've created your application, you will have an embedded resource on your application called me, and me will have a link to presents, which, just thinking about the names, that would be my presents. So the first thing we want to do is perform a get on the presence resource link for href. You can see the get going across from the client app to the server. In response, we will get back a 200 OK. 200 is a standard HTTP response code. It means OK, here's some data. You see it, that right now my samples are taking back JSON data instead of XML. And it's pretty plain to see. You can see one property in the property bag and one link. Here, the property is your availability is online, which you can imagine is your online or in a game that you are currently online or available. And in this case, there's only a link to self, which means it's a link back to the presence resource. Presence doesn't link to anything else. So that's just doing a read-only operation. Let's say we want to set presence, just like I did during the demo. So to set presence, like I said, CRUD type operations, and post is usually used for creating or setting something. So now we'll do a post on presence, and we'll include in the body what looks a bit like a resource. We see it's a property bag. It says your availability is now away. And we will get back a 204 standard response code and no content. And what that means is I have nothing to give back to you. But if we go perform a second get, our availability will come back as away instead of online. So now into the more complicated scenario of sending an IM. Again, from your start, once you create your application, there's an embedded resource called communication, which is how you engage with others using the UC Web API. And underneath communication, you have several links about starting messaging or starting a meeting. In this case, we're trying to start an IM session, so we'll use start messaging. And again, we'll go find its link. And because we're trying to start or create a new session, we're going to do a post, and we need a little bit of a payload. You can see here I have four things in the payload. I have an importance, which is optional, a subject, which is optional, a to, which as you can imagine is kind of necessary, and an operation ID. This is also mandatory because it is used for keeping track of the messaging on the event channel asynchronously. So the client is responsible for providing an operation ID or a job ID, and the event channel, every time it has an update about that operation or job, it will use the operation ID as a reference point, a shared reference point that the client can use to key off of and say, oh, they're talking about this IAM session versus that IAM session. So we go ahead and perform the post, and we get back a 200 OK, and it contains a messaging invitation resource. So this is that job that's telling you, I'm trying to find the other link user and start a conversation with them. And we see there's a bit more detail in there. The direction is outgoing, which makes sense because I'm the sender. It's repeating back my importance. It assigned it a thread ID, which you can use to pick up a conversation later. State is connecting, which makes sense because probably in that quick time it hasn't already found the person. The toast is probably just popping up. It's repeating back my subject and my operation ID, which is how I'll be able to trace it later as I get updates on that asynchronous event channel. And we see we have some links. We have a to link indicating who the message is to. We have a link to the actual messaging session, to the actual conversation, a self link, and we see an embedded from, which in this case is the sender of the IM. It's got some information about them, a pointer to their contact card, an indication of their SIP URI. So after that, we're going to go listen for this in the event channel. So the way that the event channel works is we use a concept called a pending get. And what that is you essentially say to the server, hi, I'm listening for any events you may have. And the server goes, okay, if you're interested in any events, good, listen here. And if there's anything, we'll send it to you. For those of you familiar with web programming, it's a bit like comment or WebSockets. The nice thing about it, though, is it's much more common across devices and browsers and quite nice for battery life for those of you thinking mobile. So you do that get, and after some amount of time, a server will either come back and say nothing's happened in the last few minutes, or, hey, something interesting happened that I think you should know about right now. So in this case, we'll get back a response, and I've pruned a little bit of it so we can focus on the key parts, but you'll notice that now it says that there's been an update, and your messaging resource, the one that was referenced in the invitation, is now connected. Apparently the other person is going to IAM with us only using plain text. We see there's a link to the conversation. There's now a new link called stop messaging. There's even also now a link called send message. And since what we're actually trying to do is send an IAM, we can guess that that's the one we're going to use next. So in this case, we're going to do the same thing. Again, a post on the URL or href for send message. And our payload in this case is the actual text that we're trying to send. So you see it's the same text from the demo, hello from the browser. Go ahead and send that post request through. We'll get back a response. It's a 200 OK. It's a message resource. It's telling us it's outgoing. This is the exact date and time that you sent it. I forgot to mention the operation ID in this case is a query parameter, not in the body, because you have to make room for the message text in the body. But the operation ID is played back for you so you can track on the event channel. And you get a link back to the messaging session, as well as a self-link for the message itself if you want to keep track of it directly. And that's how you send an IAM using the UC Web API. So after those walkthroughs, again, more detailed walkthroughs of the fiddler traces that we saw, I'm now going to walk you through the actual samples, the sample site that you saw me use to generate this API traffic in the first place. So the samples are going to be in JavaScript. And why? Again, quite simply, because JavaScript is cross-platform and cross-browser. All those devices listed are browsers, and all the browsers listed are going to work. In fact, they already do. So what do you get in the samples? You get three key things. You get sample libraries. Again, these are to help you avoid writing boilerplate code. Their main purpose is to help you create and consume the request and response format that make up the API. Know that these in and of themselves are not the API. It's just a best practice of using modular design. So you can have these modular libraries that you can use in different projects. Next piece is a set of sample tasks. That's what you actually saw me use. This allows you to use the API in a cross-browser, cross-device setting. built on top of the sample libraries. And finally, there will be documentation. We will have three components for that. We'll have some conceptuals, which are a bit like articles and explanatory documentation. We'll also have API reference documentation for each of those resources, as well as an API explorer, which I'll cover a little bit more in a few slides. Or actually, in the next slide. So for those of you wondering what I mean by API explorer, you're about to find out, and then you'll get to see what the reference pages are shaping up to look like. So one of the key things we spoke about was that concept of hypermedia, or following links. And we believe that the API Explorer is a nice way of getting you visual of what that really means. So allow me to show that now. So here's the API Explorer. So you can see that application resource that I spoke about. You can see there are links to things including me, which is the one that we've kind of been doing demos on, so I'm going to go focus on again. If you go mouse over the me resource, you see that we get a quick description of it and some of its properties. And we also see some highlighting going on that show you the links or embedded resources that come off of me. In this case, I'm going to take a look at Note. You know, because we got and set our note. And you see that the note instance has two properties, the message and the type. The message is the actual text. The type is whether it's a personal note or an out-of-office note. You can kind of see, again, you have the same highlight. So you can see note, you can clearly see that it's linked to by me, and me in and of itself is linked to, or in this case, embedded in application. We kind of believe that this, this design encourages developers to take a note of the graph that we create with these hypermedia links. So the other piece to show you would be the reference documentation. And I'm actually going to start again with me and show off. Now you see in a bit more detail a definition of the me resource. You see the three properties with a bit more of a description. And you also see the links and embedded resources that come off of me. In this particular case, it's interesting because that hypermedia or link concept not only applies to the API itself, but even to its documentation. If I want to learn about Note or Presence, it's as simple as clicking on one of the links, which is the same thing you would do programmatically if you were looking at me and wanted to learn about my Presence or my Note. And here again, we can see the definition of Note, we can see its properties, and if we scroll down, we can even see examples of the traffic that would be generated and going back and forth on the wire. Again, for those of you in the developer tap, this will be available to you soon. So now let's talk a bit about those sample libraries that help with boilerplate code. I'm going to focus on the two key libraries to kind of get started with interesting stuff. There are more, and again, if you have access to the samples, you get to see how we use these. But today I'm going to focus on the transport layer and the cache layer. Transport.js is used, again, to really create and consume those HTTP requests and responses. It's a set of convenience functions to help you with things like always passing your credentials and making sure everything's in the proper format. They also help with cross-domain scripting. For those of you a bit familiar with web development, that would be your sample app lives on awesomeapp.com, but your company's link server actually lives on link.companyname.com. There's really one key function that you want to know about in transport.js. This would be a client request, and it takes one input, which is request. The input is JSON. In this case, we are showing JSON. It's essentially a dictionary or key value store or property bag. And I've highlighted in blue the three minimums, the three minimum inputs that you would want for most things. It would be the URL you're talking to, what verb you're trying to use, and the callback or the handler used to process the response. I'll show you an example of using this in a few slides. The other key component is cache.js. This is used to store those links provided by UCWeb. As I keep saying, it's a hypermedia API. We don't want you to craft the URLs, we want you to use the one that's given. So this is just a performance optimization to hang on to links that you imagine you'll be using often. It prevents round trips for URLs that rarely change, like your list of contacts or me, since you're logged in and you're yourself. So there's three key functions that we'll talk about in cache.js. There's a find link in cache, and you pass in the name of the resource whose link you're looking for. There's find embedded link in cache, which says, I want a link that belongs to this resource. So you pass in the resource that you the resource and the link within it that you're looking for. So I'm looking for a presence within the me resource in the example. And then for cache links, it takes one input, which is data, and it wants the untouched response data from transport.js, and it'll automatically take care of breaking apart, grabbing the links, and putting them into the cache for you, so you can use the two find methods to get the links out later. So now let's take a look at how I displayed my presence in the browser. At the top is actually our handler function, our callback. It's called handle get presence. It takes a single input, which is the raw data from the transport layer. We make sure that that the data actually has some results in it. And then what that part of the beginning, presence.text, means go find something on the web page called presence, and then drop the following text into it. And in this case, the text that we get is from the results package within the data. We want the availability property, which if you remember from the traces earlier, we said that when you do a get on presence, one of its properties is availability. So that's it. Once you get the response, it's effectively a one-liner to get it out into the browser. So now we actually have the use of transport, the next piece. And what we say here is when someone clicks on the get presence thing in the browser, run the following function. So we say use the transport and make a call to its client request function and pass in that little property bag with, in this case, the three key values I mentioned before. The URL, go into the cache, and on the me link, find a link to the presence resource and use that link. We're performing a get because we're trying to get presence. And for the callback, call that handle get presence callback function. That's it. That's getting presence. Just a couple of easy lines. Now I'll show you how to get your note. And you'll notice I highlighted in blue because that's the only stuff that changed. Most of it is just changing the word presence to note. And then you'll see instead of data results.availability, that wouldn't make any sense for getting your note. In this case, it's data results.message. But otherwise, everything's essentially the same. And with that, that's the end of the walkthrough, and I see there's been a lot of activity in the IM window, so I think now's a great time for Q&A.
All right. All right, thanks, Alex. So this is Kai speaking, and I'm going to share out the questions that we got. So one moment here while I share that out. Okay, lots of great questions coming in. So yeah, let's move on to questions, and I'll read them to you, Alex, and you can start answering. So first question, thank you, what we've been waiting for. I guess that's not a question. next question, do you need to have the link client installed to use UCWA?
Absolutely not. I had it open merely to show the changes happening live being reflected in the client, but
yeah. You
absolutely do not need it. You just need a browser. You know, it'll work, like I said, on devices, so you know, there's no link for Android yet this should work in the Android browser.
Mm-hmm. And so as far as finding the samples, they're not available today, correct? So people need to wait for the release.
Correct. They'll be available to those people who are in the developer tab soon. We're working on getting everything packaged up and out the door.
Okay. So another comment, that is really cool. At the top event in Paris, it was more talking about UCWA and not that detailed like it is now. So not actually a question, just some more great feedback. So the next question, I've attended the UCMA 4 session and now this session. As we've been developing UCMA, applications since 1.0, and we know Microsoft knows there's a need for a video API. Is there any option to use UCWA to access video or present video to a web user? And if not, do you have any recommendations for streaming any kind of video outside of Silverlight and Flash?
So there's no plans. So as far as the plans for UCWA and video, as the roadmap slide said, it's something that we are working on in the future. We're not there yet. As far as specific recommendations now, I mean, our focus is on getting the UCWA solution out the door.
Okay. So next question. Can we use UCWA in a click-to-call scenario where the remote user has ELWA or Link or Skype?
Can you use callback and then invoke effectively an ELWA client, for example?
So by click-to-call, there's an ambiguity. Is it like for an anonymous access click-to-call or for an information worker type click-to-call? Is it like from an intranet or website or which of the two is that?
As far as UCWA is concerned, we will support in the first
version click-to-call on the information worker side for as long as we're authenticated. Anonymous access, as called out in the roadmap, is something we know is very important to you guys, but that'll be coming a little bit later at the TBD date. We don't have an ETA yet.
Okay. So maybe you can follow up, clarify what you mean by click to call, and we'll come back to that question. Next question, is there a font or a UI pack that will be made available to developers for maintaining the UI continuity and aesthetics with a new platform, or will there be any CSS packages?
So our focus now is on getting the working samples and the working sample libraries and the actual code to engage with UCWA out. Our focus hasn't been on controls, on UI controls yet.
So having said that, there are discussions before we ship to potentially provide guidelines as to, you know, the font and UI and what linkness is and recommendation around that. We just don't know yet what would be the exact format of these guidelines. But yes, we're thinking about something like that.
So next question, is there, does UCWA work against the Link Online or Office 365?
As called out in the roadmap, online is something that is coming in the future.
In the future. So let's see. I'm copy-pasting more questions here, but the window keeps scrolling on me here, so.
So many questions. Right. Next question.
Is there a concept in UCWA similar to application provisioning in UCMA? Any thoughts on how this might work when anonymous access is eventually enabled? Is there an ETA on anonymous access or the modality? So I think we already talked about the ETA, and we don't really have a date for anonymous access at this time. But maybe you can address the first part of that question.
So for the first question, in fact, the use of UCWA is simpler than UCMA in that regard. UCMA, you had to provision the application because you had to create your own process on the on your application pool. With UCWA, the process is up and running as soon as you install Link Server. So there's really no provisioning step to use UCWA other than creating a regular user. So all you need is to provision a user to start using the API. As soon as you have a user in AD, you can start using the API right away.
awesome.
So the next question there was, let's see, the real-time channel long polling HTTP GET request. Yes, that's another name for it. We don't really like the polling part of that name, though, because it's really not as inelegant as polling the server every few seconds saying, do you have an update, do you have an update, do you have an update? But that is another name for the technology that we're using.
Okay, so you're actually using that technology just by a different name?
There's several names for it. Effectively, it's the concept that you can open up a channel to listen for events asynchronously, and the server doesn't have to answer right away. Mm-hmm. Some people say it's like polling, but at a much longer interval.
Okay. Next question. What do we need to consider for UCWA applications in failover states? If a front end fails, how will the state and connectivity of the application be affected?
That's a great question. So our goal is very much to abstract away that complexity through our web infrastructure. So every time you issue a request from your application to UC1, it actually gets proxied through a component that we call web infra. And these components adds a great benefit, which is that it understands that your home server might have failed over to another home server and will be able to route your request directly and on your behalf to the new home server to serve your request automatically. At that point, the new home server will respond with a 404 application not found, which will be a trigger for you to basically recover. So we'll document a sequence of recovery, but this is in a nutshell the work. We try to keep it pretty simple. There's only one error code that triggers this type of failover. Having said that, that we might find some additional corner cases, but to keep it simple, 404 application not found is a main trigger for a failover.
Okay. So we have a clarification for the click to call, and this clarification is, instead of Skype to call, use UCWA and integration with Link Presence with Skype users outside.
Maybe we separate this scenario first from what we can do with the click to call, and then later on focus on what we could do in future with Skype.
Right, so with the first version of UCWA, as soon as Skype Federation is implemented between our cloud and Skype, you will have the ability to communicate with Skype users. Now, having said that, if the question is about replacing Skype as a click-to-call client on the consumer side, this basically is essentially similar to the anonymous access scenario we talked about, and that will be coming later at the TBD date.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned other browsers. So you're going to tease us with any other browsers?
It seems like a show me challenge.
It is a challenge.
Let's do it.
We have 20 minutes left in the session, so.
So, let's see. Sharing's coming through, maybe. Oh, hold on.
Okay.
There we go. Here's sharing. So you can see now I've actually switched over to Safari, and really it is Safari. And I'm back at the login page. Let's log in. Oh, no, you now all know my password. Let's just jump straight to the instant messaging example because I'm sure that's what everyone wants to see. You see I'm still logged in as UCWA user 2. Jump in, start now going. There's our toast. There you go.
All right. So that was Safari.
Okay.
Browsers and little bit.
Yeah, nice. Well, there's one even before that, yeah.
Okay, so question answered. So next question. Does UCWA connect directly to the front end via a reverse proxy, or is the edge involved at all? Does AV support change this? Oh, does AV support change this at all?
So for the first question, so as far as the HTTP connectivity, it only requires on-premise HTTP reverse proxy. The service, of this is, we're not supporting UCWAP publicly yet. This is something that, that will be, that we're considering as an update later on. We have a different mechanism. We are not using HTTP reverse proxy there, and effectively using what we call an HTTP edge, which is not needed on-premise. Now, when we support audio, video, and VoIP, which we don't support today, as we mentioned, but obviously this is on our roadmap, you will need the media relay at that time. But again, in for the first version of UCWA, we only support phone audio, which is essentially a click-to-call, a call-control type scenario. That does not warrant any media relay, but just essentially a phone number so that you can use, for example, your mobile phone number to take the phone call, for example. But on-premise, we will go through the reverse proxy, yes.
Does he have a question about browsers on mobile devices?
Yeah, question about mobile devices. How does support work for that?
So the answer is yes, it will work. Mobile Safari is built from the same WebKit core as Safari on the desktop. It's just not that easy to demo because I'd have to, like, you know, hold a phone up in front of the camera and show it to you guys, but it definitely does work. This is all standard JavaScript and HTTP requests and responses in the browser, and all browsers need to support this to actually browse the web in the first place.
Let's also be very clear about that one, that we talk a lot now about HTTP requests and doing this in the browser, but you can also build your own, let's say, head on it that you actually can consume this also in C++ or Objective-C, etc., right? So it is depending on what is the native language of your application on how you would like to consume this UCWeb API. On the server side, on our side, it is an HTTP mechanism that we are using, but on your application, you can actually consume it in different ways.
Correct. Thank you, Albert. That kind of goes back to the slide I started with where I listed a bunch of languages besides JavaScript. We've just been emphasizing JavaScript because it provides a nice demo environment within the browser, and also conveniently I can show it working on different browsers. But absolutely correct. Any language that has an HTTP stack within it, you know, an HTTP library, that language is a candidate for writing a UCWA app.
And you can also see that how we use it internally, because, for example, mobile clients that we are building are built on this UCWeb API. The Link web app is built on this UCWeb API. So you can see different incarnations already of this technology appear in the server and in the clients that we are using. So that's the good news. Just to speak again about the release date, of course, everyone is very eager to have this. We are working as hard as we can on this. And, of course, this is a major project, so we don't have a hard release date. We are going to give the details that Alex gave. We are going to share that with our developer tab partners. The TAP is a technology adoption program that we run for a closed amount of partners, and those will be getting this in the coming 1 to 2 weeks. Thereafter, we will have to see on how solid we are before we actually can decide on, okay, what is actually the release date. So there's no firm date for us. There's no estimate yet that we can give, that apart from that it will be after RTM of the Link server. So no dates that we can communicate at this point in time. But we are working very hard on this. Any other questions?
Looks like we have some questions coming in, so we'll just hold on while those come in. All right. So we might wrap up early today, unless we have any more final questions here. Thanks a lot, Alex, for joining us today talking about UCWA. I know a lot of people are really excited to see this new API come in, so and we saw some great feedback today. Normally people have feature requests and don't have positive feedback, so I think that's a great thing. So that's great. So thank you very much, and I don't have any upcoming roundtable sessions to announce at this time, but we're always looking for new topics, so if you have any suggestions, I'm Kai Stranskov, and I'm always out there on the forums and getting your questions answered out there, so if you have any suggestions, please do let me know on the forums or through Connect if you're on the in the TAP program, and we'll try to get those going. Thanks a lot, everybody, and we'll see you around next time.